Acts chapter 20. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 27. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 16 and reading through verse 27. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and the teaching of your holy word. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to understand the lessons that you have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every pastor probably has thought at one time or another the following two thoughts about the members of his congregation. First, when he thinks about some, he wishes that all his members were like them. That is, if all the members were like them, all the services would be well attended, all the bills would be paid, the church would have a wonderful testimony in the community, the church would have some wonderful workers, the church would be able to withstand all the spiritual darts that Satan hurls. God's church would be a great church if all the members were like these particular members. However, when the pastor thinks about other folks in the church, he's glad that not all his members are like them, because he knows that if all the members were as undependable as them, the midweek service would be closed, the Sunday night service would be closed, the Sunday school would cease to exist, there would be no money to support foreign missions, and there'd be no money to maintain God's church building. It reminds me of how after a citywide revival campaign had concluded, three pastors were discussing the results of the revival with one another. The Methodist minister said, "Oh, the revival worked out great for us. We gained 4 new families." The Presbyterian minister, he said, "Oh, we did better than that. We gained 6 new families." And the Baptist preacher said, "Well, we did even better than that. We got rid of our 10 biggest troublemaking families." But thank the Lord, all over this nation, churches exist and are doing well, not because of the bad members, but because of those in the church that are dedicated Christians that love the Lord and love each other. And so naturally, a pastor looks at these dedicated Christians and he can't help but wish that he could clone every one of them for the glory of God. And as a pastor, I feel this way when I read about some of the characters in the Bible. For example, can you imagine what it would be like to have a man like the Apostle Paul in our church. Well, this morning, I want us to look at the life of this great man of God so that we can ask God to help us to have the same godly traits that he had. And basically, I want to talk to you about three things this morning concerning the life of the Apostle Paul. First of all, this morning, I want you to consider his sound speech. His sound speech. Now, all you have to do is listen to people's speech for just a few minutes in order to tell what kind of people they are. And when people listened to Paul, they quickly found out from his speech that he was sincere. That is, his walk and his talk matched up. And that's important. It's important how we talk, how we walk, and it's important how we talk. It's important how we walk the walk, and it's equally important how we talk the talk. And Paul did both. He did both. And as Paul walked it, I want you to notice how he talked it. First of all, notice here that his teaching was profitable. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." Because he loved them so much, he said, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." You know, too many preachers claim to love the people of God, but they hold back in their preaching because they know that the people want it that way. But the truth is, if these preachers who hold back from telling the truth of God's word really loved their people the way they should love them, they would tell them what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear. And I admit that it's not always easy to tell people what they need to hear. But love for people should compel us to do it. Let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever noticed, like, a man maybe with his collar sticking up, or his shoe untied, or, you know, his shirt tail hanging out, or maybe his zipper is unzipped, or maybe he got food on his tie, or maybe a lady with her slip showing, or maybe a sales tag still hanging under the arm of her clothes, or the tag in the back sticking up from her blouse. Well, when you see something like that, what do you do? Well, of course, you have two choices. You cannot tell them and let people laugh at them, or you can tell them and take the chance of offending them. Now, you know what you should do, right? And it's not something you especially enjoy doing, but if you love people, you call them aside and tell them what's going on. And again, it's not always easy dealing with people. But when you love them and you see something wrong, love compels you to want to speak to them. And Paul was this way. Why? Why did Paul not hold back? Well, the scripture passage itself tells us the answer. It tells us that he did not hold back because it was profitable for them to hear the truth. That's why he said in verse 27, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." When Paul spoke, his teaching was profitable. It was helpful to them. How about us? When we speak, is our speech profitable and helpful to those around us? Paul certainly was. His teaching was profitable. And then notice also, not only was his teaching profitable, his teaching was public. As you continue on in verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. Publicly. Paul's ministry was not a secretive one. He was not like some of these TV preachers. You know, if some of the television preachers are preaching the Word of God, they must be doing it secretly because they're certainly not doing it openly. Matter of fact, a lot of them will teach and preach anything but the Word of God. Now, I appreciate those who do have a biblically sound message. And there are some on TV like that. But so many do not preach all the counsel of God. They do not preach the Word of God. You will not hear them preach on sin. You will not hear them preach on death. You will not hear them preach on condemnation. You will not hear them preach on hell. You will not hear them preach on the wrath of God. You will not hear them preach on the judgment of God. And you certainly will not hear them preach on repentance. They are not preaching the Word of God. But you see, Paul had the courage to deal with sin publicly. And it does take courage to do that. It takes love and courage for a minister to stand up and preach the Bible, knowing that some just do not want to hear it. But Paul said he did it because it needed to be done publicly. There are certainly times when preaching needs to be public. But I want you to notice also that publicly is not the only way that Paul taught. Because we also see that sometimes his teaching was private. If you go on in the verse, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and, now here's the contrast, and from house to house. From house to house. You see, Paul taught the crowds out in the marketplace, on the public square. He taught them in the church gatherings. He taught the crowds, but he was a one-on-one teacher as well. And this is important to point out, because some preachers today are just interested in the crowds. They're not the least bit concerned for the individual. But Paul ministered to the crowds, and also he ministered to the individuals from house to house. He went right into their homes and dealt with them individually. There are times when we serve the Lord that the best way to deal with things is in private. And so Paul's teaching was profitable, it was public, and it was private. I also want you to notice that his teaching was without prejudice. If you go on into verse 21, it says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Paul had no racial prejudice. In America, we often struggle with prejudice. They say the most segregated day in America is Sunday. That is, we have churches all over this great country, and we can't even worship God together. We have Greek churches and Korean churches and white churches and black churches and Hispanic churches and Chinese churches. We have churches for the rich. We have churches for the poor. And the list could go on and on and on and on. But Paul was not that way. He preached to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Why? Because every lost person needs the gospel. It makes no difference what their background is. It makes no difference who they are. Every lost person needs the gospel. And every saved person needs to hear the Word of God in order to grow in grace and in their knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's important that we learn this lesson from the Apostle Paul. You see, every person you meet, every neighbor, every acquaintance, every family member, every friend, every coworker, every classmate, everyone needs to hear the message of the Bible. And we have a responsibility to do our best to try and reach them all. We learn that from the Apostle Paul. His teaching was profitable, public, private, and without prejudice. And I want you to know also that his teaching was pure. Notice continuing on in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, notice now, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Paul's message was pure. He preached repentance and faith. He preached the pure, uncompromised message of the Bible. Now, repentance is a word that we don't often hear coming from pulpits today. Why? Because many preachers know that they're preaching to a proud, rebellious people, and the last thing they want to be told is that they are sinful and they need to repent, to turn away from their sins. You see, this is the age of easy believism. That is, there's no need to repent. Just believe something and you're okay for eternity. But listen, you can believe that everything in this Bible is the Word of God and still die and go to hell. Remember, the devil believes that the Bible is the Word of God, but he's certainly not bound for heaven. You can memorize it. You can quote everything this Bible teaches and still die and go to hell. You can attend a Bible preaching church every Sunday and still die and go to hell. It's not until you are willing to repent of your sins and take Christ as your Savior that you can be saved. It takes both. That's why Paul said that he testified to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And I guarantee you this, when he said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish," he meant it. He meant it. He's saying if a person is not willing to repent, they will perish. And to repent means that a person is walking in one direction and he turns about face and starts to walk in the opposite direction. And I'll tell you this, I'm convinced that churches these days have a lot of people who profess to be saved, but they have never repented of their sins. How do we know that? Because they're still walking in the same path of sin they have always walked in. No turning, no repentance, no change, which goes totally against 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If there's no turning, if there's no repenting, if there's no change, then that leads me to believe that although they may profess Christ with their mouth, they do not possess Christ in their heart. And there's a big difference, a big difference. And that's why the Apostle Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That was sound speech. Sound speech. That's a good word from the Scriptures. That's Paul's message. Sound speech, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, I want you to see not only his sound speech, but I want you to consider his sincere service. His sincere service. You see, how we serve the Lord is important. As you look at the workforce in this nation, have you noticed that there are good employees and bad employees? I'm sure you've noticed it. There are people I know that I can't help but think that I'm so glad that I don't have to give them a paycheck each week. There are lots of bad employees out there, and they are costing companies lots of money each year, and that cost, of course, is passed down to us, the consumers. Not very long ago, I walked into a fast food restaurant, and one of the workers behind the counter acted like she resented me coming in and disturbing her rest. And as I ordered, of course, she passed the order to me with a frown on her face. She took my money, which, of course, you know, provided some of her salary, and she never one time said thank you. It was obvious that she was not thankful for her job. She reminded me of the guy with the pickup truck with the bumper sticker said, I'd rather be fishing. See, while I was there, after I had got my seat and I was eating my lunch, she came from behind the counter with a hamburger and a large soft drink on a tray for herself. But as she headed towards her table, her large soft drink fell off the tray and smashed all over the floor. There was soda everywhere. And of course, with that, she let out a few choice words. But what amazed me was she just left that drink on the floor for the customers to walk around, never tried to clean it up, never asked for anybody else to help clean it up, just left it there for everybody to try and walk around. I'll tell you this. If that place doesn't start changing the type of people they hire, then I could be in business very long. And the reason I mention her is because there are Christians who serve the Lord with this same kind of rotten attitude. If you observe the way they live, it's so obvious they'd rather be somewhere else than in the house of God, and they'd certainly rather be doing something else than serving God. And all over this nation, there are churches that have completely closed their doors, and there are others that are barely open, and the reason is because the people of these churches are lousy servants of the Lord. See, how we serve is important. And again, the work of God is suffering greatly because of the way that some Christians serve the Lord. What little service they do for God, they do grudgingly and certainly not with gladness. And so we need more Christians serving God like the Apostle Paul did. Now, and I want you to notice how he served here. It says in verse 19 that he served with humility. Notice that. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. The mindset of the Apostle Paul, when it came to serving God and serving God's people, was one of humility. Now, if anyone had the right to be proud, the Apostle Paul did. He was very well educated. In Acts 22, verse 3, he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. Paul was a Pharisee. This would be equivalent today to having a law degree from Harvard University. He was a brilliant man. And even more than that, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. This would be equivalent today to being a member of the United States Supreme Court. But yet the Bible says he served the Lord with humility of mind. You see, when we walk in the mindset of pride, we are more like Satan than at any other time. Remember, Satan was so proud, he wanted to be God. And he wanted to be worshipped as God. And it led to him being cast out of heaven. But when we walk in the mindset of humility, we are more like Christ than at any other time. And the Bible clearly teaches us in Romans 12:3 that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Paul knew how to serve the Lord with humility of mind because he knew what that humility was all about. For instance, he never thought of himself as being better than anybody else. He knew that God was no respecter of persons. He was not better than anybody. He also never viewed himself as anything more than a sinner saved by grace. And he also realized that without Christ, he was nothing and he could do nothing. And what a wonderful world this would be if people could walk in humility instead of pride by following the example of the Apostle Paul. He knew he served the Lord with humility of mind. But then also notice here that he served the Lord with many tears. If you continue on in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now think about this. When does a person shed tears? Well, the answer to that is determined by their situation. There are certainly tears of joy, but most of the time, tears flow when something or someone is hurting or deeply burdened or touched. And I'm convinced that we don't see many tears among professing Christians today because nothing seems to move us or touch us or burden us anymore. We've grown cold and calloused and indifferent and uncaring and ambivalent. Think about it. We have loved ones on their way to hell who have rejected Christ, but it doesn't even bring a tear to our eyes. We see people around us deeply hurting, but it doesn't even move us. We're so self-absorbed that we don't even notice these hurting people. But Paul was not like that. Paul saw things and heard things that brought tears to his eyes. The Bible says Paul served the Lord with many tears. He was sincere. He was caring. He was compassionate. He was sensitive in his service to God and in his service to others. And so we've seen his sound speech, his sincere service. One last thing this morning, and that is his strong stand. His strong stand. One of the great needs of the church today is to find men and women of God who, like Paul, will stand for what is right no matter what. Paul was under all kinds of pressures. Look here at verses 22 and 23 again. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now notice he did not say he was going to Jerusalem and perhaps some problems might occur. He knew. He knew. It's funny, you know, today, before the modern day evangelist goes to a town, he telephones ahead to find out if the Holiday Inn is available. But when Paul went to town, he didn't have to do that because he knew he was going to be spending his night in the slammer. That's usually the way it worked out for the Apostle Paul. Now, he didn't know exactly what kind of problems would be facing him once he arrived in a new town to preach the gospel. He knew there'd be problems, but he didn't know, you know, exactly what they were. But that made no difference. He went anyway. And if you know the life of the Apostle Paul, you know that he was beaten and stoned and whipped and jailed and ridiculed and mocked and hated for the preaching of the gospel. He was persecuted for preaching the truth of the word of God. But that didn't stop him. He stood strong for the Lord no matter what. And when he got to thinking about all of the hardships that he faced for his faithfulness to Christ and his faithfulness to the word of God, look what he says in verse 24. But none of these things, remember the context is bonds and afflictions, verse 23. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing could shake Paul off his course of following the Holy Spirit and preaching the gospel. Paul was standing on the solid rock and would not be moved. And that rock is Jesus and his unchanging word. And I just believe that God's church today is in desperate need of those who profess to be saved, determining in their heart that they are going to live the Christian life the way Paul lived it. We're to be sound in our speech. We're to stick with the pure, uncompromised message of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to preach that message that is profitable to the souls of all men. And then we're to be sincere in our service. We're to be genuinely caring and compassionate towards those that are lost and towards those that are hurting. And we're to be strong in our stand and determined that we are going to be faithful and true to the Lord and to the service of the Lord, no matter what the circumstances or situations in which we find ourselves. That's how the Apostle Paul was, and that's how we're supposed to be. The question is, are we? Are we? And if this morning you're a Christian and you find yourself a little lacking in any of these areas, I want to challenge you to do something about it. I challenge you to rededicate yourself this morning to loving God with all your heart and serving God with all your strength and reaching the lost with the gospel and encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ when they're hurting. That's the lesson we learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. And my invitation is real simple. Let's get out of here and apply it to our life. Let's apply these lessons to us. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, nobody looking around, this is not between you and